Good morning.
Good morning.
This is a treat for me as well. And to be honest, I'm a little nervous, but you know me, I always get nervous. I get nervous when I teach my youth, junior youth. So it's nothing for me to do that. You know, it is such a pleasure to be able to do this. I feel it's a real honor. And all right, I told you that this next 3 weeks we're going to talk about servanthood. I thought that would be a great segue from JT's on leadership. One of the lessons is servant leadership. And I really kind of wanted to do that one first to segue, but it just didn't work. So I this morning we're going to talk about basically the definition of servanthood. Definition of a servant, one who is privately employed to perform domestic services, one who is publicly employed to perform services as for a government agency, one who expresses submission, recognition, or a debt to another, so willingly becomes a servant. Your obedient servant comes to mind. When we think of becoming a servant, I don't think it's anybody's greatest desire to become a servant. What do you think of when you think of a servant? And don't go all spiritual on me here, because I'm not looking for the right answer. When we think of being a servant, it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit humiliating. And I looked up the synonyms, easy for you to say, about being a servant. And interestingly enough, when I was looking up synonyms of being a servant, it was odd that like 90% of them were negative. So it's kind of, what does the world think of being a servant? One of the first ones that came up was a daily, which if any of us watch British TV, we all know what that means. It's a servant who works on a daily basis. And then these are interesting, also British, but definitely still terms. Flunky, and there was like three different ways to spell it, but it's one performing menial or miscellaneous duties. A yes man was another interesting definition. A lackey, which is a servile follower and does menial tasks, also called a toady. Don't you wish you were British? I love all that stuff. And menial is low, humble, servile, uninteresting, or lacking dignity. I think that is the best definition from the world of what is a servant. A retainer is a person that's attached or owing service to a household, especially a servant or employee. Also, a retainer could be like something like a lawyer is considered a retainer because he is serving his client. And then a steward, one who actively directs affairs. A fiscal agent, in other words, in charge of money and important sort of things. When I was reading this, I found it interesting because, you know, if you want to just delve any depth at all into any subject, you're going to find someone who takes offense. And guess what? That was offensive to teach on servanthood because it has racial and feminine connotations. So that, in other words, I guess it's like mostly women are employed as servants. And I guess that's true. We just spent the weekend in San Antonio in hotels, and all the people that were doing the work, other than the yard work, were women. So I guess that's maybe where you get that, cleaning and serving, and even breakfast and stuff, when they did that, it was women that were serving you. And so I guess you could say that's a little bit offensive, but hold on to that thought. And also, obviously, a racial connotation because of our past on slavery and our horrible acts of that in the past. But a servant today is one who does it willingly, or at least submits themselves to it. If not willingly, they do it grudgingly, but they're not forced to do that. Like I said, no one really desires the job of a servant as a career. You never hear anybody attaining to be a servant. That's their highest calling. Sometimes we just do it, and we consider ourselves servants. How many of us have children? Everybody here. Okay, so you are a servant to your children, whether or not you intend to be. You are. You, especially the younger they are, the more you serve them. The more unable to do for themselves requires that you do everything for them. And so becoming a servant in that case, you know, when you first get married and you think, oh, we're going to have children, and it's all this idea, and it's like so much fun, and it is. It's an awesome thing. But you don't think at that point how much of a servant you must become to those children. You know, I think, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but let me just, excuse me, trying to figure out where the microphone is so I don't cough into it. Okay, I'm sorry, completely lost my train of thought there. But when you think of being a servant, it's not always a fun thing. Like I said, when you're having children, there's a lot going on there with being a servant. You know, how many of us have a job that we are not the owner of? Okay, you are a servant to that employer, and you don't even think twice about serving that employer. That is what we are happy to do. I have been a paralegal for, 50 years. And that's a job that sounds kind of elite and dignified. And let me assure you, the things I do are the most basic, down to scrubbing toilets sometimes. But, you know, you serve. And when you do it with an attitude of graciousness, you learn so much from it. Because, like I said, when we became parents, who knew that we were going to learn so many things about being a servant and how to serve well? And, you know, I believe that God uses every relationship situation that we are privileged to be involved in as a way to make us more like Him. Now, isn't that interesting? Thinking of God as a servant. You know, many of us treat God as a servant or a vending machine or a microwave that we just want to pop it in there and get an immediate answer. But God Himself considers it a privilege to serve us. Isn't that humbling and awesome and amazing? But so I wanted to go into, what do you think God thinks about servants? And I want to read you a few scriptures. Some of His best friends. Job 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Do you know what he was doing? He was bragging on his friend. "Look at this guy, my servant Job. For there is no one like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Don't you wish you could be that servant? Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord." Well, that's pretty special right there. "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Okay, and another. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. So that's another thing. God never forgets his servants. Here's another. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. And then one more, still about David. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is about Abraham. I meant to put him first. And the Lord said to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So Jacob became the servant of God by heredity. But interestingly enough, that went down another generation, and he considered Jacob his servant, but he did not consider Esau his servant. So you see, to be considered a servant of God is a huge privilege. And so I wanted to end this with a story. But before we go there, I just wanted to know if anyone had any thoughts on being a servant or servanthood. Because some of you were nodding vigorously. Tiffany, I know that you serve very well as a servant, and it is something that is regarded highly in the household, I know. It not only makes a good living for you, but it is a benefit and a privilege to others. So, I mean, it is, like I said, an honor and a privilege to be a servant. Do any of you consider yourself a servant in your position? Christina? A registered nurse is a huge servant to the sick, to the doctors, to the hospital. It is a very honorable position, and yet it is full of servitude. There isn't anything glamorous or glorious about what Christina does. I mean, it's about like being a mom. Think about that. So, all right. Did anybody have anything else before I go on? All right. I wanted to tell a story, and it's called The Servants Regarding Naaman. And I'm going to read you some scriptures and tell a story. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young woman from the land, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So Naaman was a great captain in the army of the Syrians. And I mean, he was the head guy, head honcho, and he developed leprosy and went immediately to the bottom of humility. He went from a privilege and honor and position to having basically to hide himself away, because leprosy was a very dreaded disease in every nation at that time. And so he was just at a loss. And I want to point out that this man, this dignified, very strong and mighty man, listened to not only his wife, but his wife's little servant girl. Without any kind of attitude or anything, he immediately listened, and there was hope brought into his life. And so then he goes and he talks to his king, and the king talks to the king of Samaria and in Israel, and he freaks out because he's like, oh my God, he's trying to pick a fight with me because there's no way I can heal this guy of leprosy. What does he think? I am God? And he just freaks out. And you know, we don't even actually hear that Elisha was told anything about this. Elisha had a way. He was kind of a busybody. He could hear everything. If you read the stories of Elisha, there were things that Elisha knew that no one told him. He just heard it like as if he was standing in the room, is what the Bible said. And there's further stories about that later on if you want to read up on it. But Elisha heard about this, and he sent to the king and said, "Don't worry, don't panic, I've got this." And he said, "Just when Naaman comes, send him to me, and we will take care of this." And so he came to Elisha, and he expected there to be fanfare and crowds and dignity and maybe a special chair for him to sit in while that the prophet came out and hollered and healed him. And that is not what happened, because God knows what we need more than what we want. And so Elisha never even came out. He just said, "Tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan." And Naaman freaked out. Let me get to the scripture. 2 Kings 5. Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." He expected fanfare. He expected people to just still treat him like he was all that and a bag of chips. And that's not what happened. And are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? See how he's getting haughty now. Not just haughty, but again, it's like, how many of us here are from Texas?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, how many of us are proud of being from Texas?
Yes.
See, it's a thing. So he was expecting that Damascus was going to be, okay, you know, way better than Israel. But then look at where you are. So, could I not have washed in them and been clean? So he turned and he went away in a rage. Okay, now this is an important scripture. I want you to listen for some words. And his servants came near him and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says, wash and be clean?" And he listened to his servants again. So even though he was offended, I'm sure, you know, sometimes when we get sick, we are not ourselves, and we are certainly not our best self. And we can really show off our attitudes and, you know, like we get, what they call it, hangry. Well, there should be a term for sickness. I don't know, sangry. When you're sick, you get an attitude and you become something else that, you know, or maybe not something else, but something that you are gets revealed. And so he listened and he went. So he turned and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And then he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore," listen to the words, "please take a gift from your servant." He humbled himself. He became the servant of Elisha. And he was no longer haughty or arrogant about it at all. He was happy to be a servant. And so Elisha again knew, for whatever reason, not to take anything from him. And I'm not going to pretend to understand why not. But at any rate, he did not want to take anything from him. And he said, Naaman pressed him, and he still refused. So then he was turning away, but he had a prayer, a request. And in this one passage, it says 4 times he refers to himself as your servant. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifices to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes to the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bowed down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And then he said to him, Elisha speaking, go in peace. So he departed from there a short distance. He had humbled himself to the point that he had realized that God, Almighty God, was the only God. And this is all because, let's go back to the very beginning, the humility of a little servant girl that gave him instruction. And he could have just blew it off and went his way and died a leper, but instead he chose to listen to her and he humbled himself and became a servant to the Lord and to Elisha. And I thought it was interesting that God gives us pardon when we're in a situation where we have to do something that we would not normally do, like going into the temple. This man had to go into the temple of a false god because it was his duty as a servant to his king. And Elisha honored the fact that he had still to be a servant in his position, and he gave him permission that was okay. But that he was so excited about Israel now. No longer were these the dirty river Jordan compared to his wonderful Damascus. But he was taking wagonfuls, thank you, of dirt of Israel back so that he could kneel on that dirt when he prayed to the Almighty God. So let me put before you the fact that being a servant is a job for everyone. And how you become a servant is really in your control. And if you look at this, I mean, we know that the Bible tells us, do all things as you would do unto the Lord, that no matter what your job is, if you are, when we were in Stockton, I had our senior pastor, Sister Haney. I felt like the Lord was telling me to become a servant to her. So I went to her and I asked her, what can I do for you? Now, this isn't anything to lift me up because really I was a little embarrassed. I still am because I got nothing out of this. There was no honor in this. There was no gratitude. I mean, she was thankful and she thanked me, of course. But there was no, oh, I can't believe you're doing this for me. You know, like I kind of thought maybe I'd get some honor out of it. You know, she might even mention my name from the pulpit or whatever. There was none of that. All I did every week was clean her toilets and washed her sink and vacuumed her floor. And some most of the time, she wasn't even there. So, I mean, I was just instructed by God, and I know why. Because it was, again, just like Naaman, I needed to humble myself. Not before the Lord. I knew that. I needed to humble myself. We laugh about, we used to have, tongues and interpretation would go forth. And sometimes the Lord uses you where you are. And it's not really, we're not mocking them, but it was kind of funny. And if you're like got a fifth grade education, then that's where God uses you. He doesn't expect you to be something else. And one of the tongues in interpretation came forth is, you think you're something, but you're not. Get down off your high horse. So we use that a lot because it was right on the mark. I mean, it was what we needed to hear and what they needed to hear. And obviously, it's what we still need to hear because we use it all the time. Get down off your high horse. Because sometimes we can think we are more special than we are. Not that we're not special in the eyes of God, but that we are not too good to do the least thing in the kingdom of God. We are called to be servants, and it is a position of might. What's that, Nick? Yeah, some of y'all ain't clean toilets, and it shows, she said. But the Lord expects us to serve in whatever position that he has placed us in for now. Maybe he will lift you up above that, and maybe he will not. But it is for your good and his glory that we do all things. So next week we will talk about servant leadership. It was the definition of a servant. It was what the world thinks of servanthood and as compared to what the Lord considers servanthood and who he considered a servant. Oh, and I didn't even get into it, but if you go through the New Testament and the scripture writings, you will see all of them consider themselves servants of God. Paul said, I am the least among all servants. And then James, he was the leader of the church in Israel, in Jerusalem, the Hebrew church. And he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter considered himself a servant. These are some of the people that we admire greatly and want to be like. And they were happy to be called servants. But do remember that the Lord said, Jesus told us that no longer are you just servants, but I call you my children, my brothers, my friends. So remember that being a servant is a high honor and a place of dignity, no matter whether you're cleaning toilets or whether you're serving the king. Nick?
You literally just said it, that it is a place of dignity, because one of those definitions that you read said that it's very undignified. And I think that dignity is a choice.
Right,
exactly. You don't assign dignity to me. I can be dignified, whether you think I'm not or am or not. And I was a nurse aide in a skilled nursing facility, and I literally showered these people and wiped them and changed them. And it was not glamorous at all. Mm-hmm. But I considered it a position of honor to be able to do this for them so that they did not feel shameful. That I accepted that as my place to make them feel like I would do this for anybody. And there's no shame in what's happening to you. And that I think, like with Tiffany and everything else, like you assign that dignity to yourself. It doesn't matter what other people think of you.
Exactly. That's very good.
I think one of the most important things about, as a Christian, being a servant is a high honor. But how you treat other servants is a reflection of your character. So if you go in and stay at, say, a hotel somewhere, and you trash that thing and you leave it like that, and you don't kind of straighten the covers a little bit, I know they're coming and change everything, pick up your own nasty towel and put them in a pile for or something of that nature. You're actually showing lack of respect for that servant that comes in and cleans up after you. And if you treat waitresses bad and things of that nature, you are not at all treating other servants in a Christ-like manner. That's Christ gives us dignity in our serving, and we should do that for others also.
Very good. Yes, that's exactly right. And that will come up in another lesson. Because there is, in the Bible, there's obviously unjust servants and evil servants and servants of servants that didn't treat their servants like they were treated. We have our own dignity if we accept the calling of servanthood on our life. Thank you.